Right. Would you please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this great passage of Scripture that gives us such security and assurance. Thank you, Lord, that you're such an awesome God, that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, Lord, we can have hope and security and comfort. So we give you praise, Lord, in this time of worship. Lord, and help us this week to live our worship before you, because you live. And because we are your sheep, Lord, help us to lay aside any man-made doctrine this morning. And let us just hear your voice. Let us, Lord, help us to believe what you have said. For the praise of your glory for all eternity, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to Miss Edith this morning for playing the piano while Miss Kay's out of town. And I know many people are getting ready at the park for the ones who are coming. I want to say thank you to them. They won't hear me now. But all the effort that takes part of our worship and koinonia with each other, I so much appreciate it. And thank you, Brother Roland, leading us in worship, and everyone involved, the choir. And it's an awesome privilege to worship God together, isn't it? It's a privilege for you and I to be here, isn't it? Don't we have a great, awesome privilege to be in the house of worship today? You were allowed to be here. God allowed you to be here today. What a privilege to take part of sweet worship of an awesome God. Such comfort we have, and such assurance, such mercy, such love that has been bestowed upon you and I, God's children. The love of God has been given to us. You see, God is so big, God is so powerful, God is so awesome, God is so holy. There's none like Him. He is an awesome God, and with all His sovereignty that God is, His sovereignty, He has allowed you and I this morning to worship Him. He has called us unto His own to follow Him. What an awesome God that our finite minds cannot fully grasp and explain. The only thing we have to really hold on to is the voice of Him in His Scripture. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Isn't it something that he spoke this great doctrine of eternal security, this great doctrine of assurance that his sheep hear his voice and no one can snatch them out of his hand? He gives them everlasting life. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, God in the flesh, spoke it to unbelievers? To unbelievers. Those who did not believe. It's amazing that he taught this to people who did not believe. But he says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." Hear my voice. You know, there's all sorts of voices in the world today, isn't it? I mean, we're trying to be pulled one way and then the other and follow this one, follow that one, follow that teaching, follow, you need this other book, or there's other ways. So many voices out there that's trying to get our attention, to try to pull us away. You know, our Sunday school lesson was on worship. And our worship is 7 days a week, and how so much distractions, you know, what we go through here in this church, people getting up and the door slamming and all that, that's just a little snapshot of what we actually go through every day. To try to draw our attention away from following His voice. His voice. His sheep hear His voice. You know, I've been all over this world in the military, and I have not lost my accent, as you can tell. I've been made fun of how I talk. That's fine. I've tried to get rid of it. I think I have lost some of it because you ought to hear some of my cousins talk. They country. I mean, my own children say, "Daddy, they country." So I've lost some of it. But I could call one of you on the phone, and in most cases, I don't have to introduce, I do in to be polite, but you already know who I am but when you hear me talk. My children know my voice. My grandmother, my only grandmother left living, who has Alzheimer's, I could go see her at this very moment. When I walk out the room, she won't remember I was there. But the moment I open my mouth to speak to her, she calls me Edgar. She knows my voice. And it's amazing how we can pick up on each other's voice. But isn't it even more amazing that the sheep, God's sheep, the born-again believers, we know His voice. The sheep of His pasture, those who have been born again, God's Spirit indwelling you, you know what is truth and what is not. You know when you hear a speaker that's supposed to be speaking for God and God through him, you know whether he's telling the truth or not. You know that. How do we know? We have God the Holy Spirit in us, and God speaks to us through this. Amen? This is the voice of God. This is how God speaks to you and I. Yes, His Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we pray for wisdom and guidance, but I promise you, He will never lead you away. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you away from Scripture. Never. Because God speaks to us through Scripture. And the Holy Spirit of God takes that Scripture and gives us understanding and guidance and leadership. And His sheep hear His voice. You know, there are churches today. Here's the most extreme. Of course, there's cults too. But I'm talking about churches where the pastor, the staff, are all homosexuals. And they're blowing and going. They are growing. Large membership. There's churches where, you know, they don't talk about sin and all that, and asking to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and they're growing real big. And yet, the voice of God is not there, because they are not following Scripture. But God's people, God's sheep, know that the thou shalt nots mean something. And the thou shalt, they mean something. Because that's the voice of God. Scripture is speaking to us. So, my sheep, hear my voice. And when God speaks to us through Scripture, we don't dare say as His people who are following Him, well, that may be okay back then, or that may be speaking to you, but it don't mean that to me. His sheep. Listen to me. Jesus said His sheep hears His voice. They hear His voice. Also, He says, I know them. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's to know personally. The Lord Jesus knows those who are His. He gives us several parables of the wheat and the tares. They're growing up together. You and I cannot tell a wheat and a tare apart, but God does. The parable of the good fish and the bad fish, and the net, the gospel net is cast, and the good fish is separated from the bad fish. I don't know which fish is which, but God does. And then we have those parables of the sheep and the goats. And there'll be a separation someday. And we are warned that there are sheep in wolves' clothing that take advantage of the sheep of God's flock. God knows them. God knows His sheep. And He knows us. We hear His voice. And He calls us. He knows every little detail about you, His sheep, His child. He knows. He knows. What keeps us going in ministry and serving one another? What keeps us going? The understanding that God sees it all. He knows your heart and He knows my heart. And God sees every little detail about us. He knows His sheep. Every little detail about us. And He says in verse 27, they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. It's a narrow way that we're following Him. It's narrow. But we follow Him. And when He calls us, when He calls you with that effectual calling, you can't help but follow Him. It's irresistible grace, irresistible love and mercy. And you can't help but follow this gracious, merciful God who calls you to follow Him. Can't help but do it. He says, follow me. Follow His love and His mercy. Follow me. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't like to follow Him all the time. I really don't want to follow Him like that. You're not one of sheep. You're not one of the sheep. If you do not want to follow Jesus, your name may be in the Rolodex in the church office. You may be a deacon. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be this or that. But if you don't want, you'll follow a team or a basketball player or a football player. You'll wear everything that they sell. But if you don't want to follow Jesus, you're not one of the sheep. My suggestion is to you, you better beg for mercy. You better get on your face before a holy God and say, "Oh God, please save me." You can't do that with pride or self-righteousness. You can't do that by just saying, "Well, my name's in the Rolodex." You better beg for mercy from a holy God. Because if you don't want to follow Him, you're not one of the sheep. If you don't want to follow Scripture, you don't hear the voice. He says, "Follow me." They follow me. This is not a game we're playing. This ain't a game. If you can follow the world and everything out there and do all that you do for the world and then follow Jesus at your convenience, you're not a sheep. You're not a sheep. Beg for mercy. Pastor, that's hard. That's Scripture, folks. That's Scripture. If the least little thing can keep you out of church, I mean, this is icing on the cake. This is worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And you don't even want to follow Him here. You better beg for mercy. You better beg. Yes, God's a loving God, and you'll get you can find a preacher that'll tell you all sorts of things, but if you don't want to follow Jesus, you're not a sheep. I can't pretty that much up for you. But the good news is, to the sheep, what does He do? He gives them eternal life. Everyone say hallelujah. That's a hallelujah time there. Eternal life. Verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He gives it to them. This is permanent. He gives us eternal life. It's not eternal life one day, and then you perish the next day. Eternal life is eternal life. That is security and that's assurance. Some of you have a background with the Methodist or the Church of Christ or Pentecostal or whatever. I've been a Baptist all my life, but I believe this. Once you're truly saved, you will follow Jesus and you'll never perish. You'll follow Him. It's not that I walk down the aisle and I'm saved now and once saved, always saved stuff. No, we say it wrong. If you're a follower of Jesus, you'll follow Him. I mean, you'll follow Him through the valleys and through the mountaintops. You'll follow Him through believer's baptism. You'll do anything that the Master tells you to do. If you don't want to follow Him, you're not a sheep. But it gives eternal life. It is dependent on repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. My hope is built on Jesus Christ, His blood, and on Jesus' righteousness. That's what my hope is built on. That's our hope. And He gives eternal life. He gives it to us. And they will never perish, He says in verse 28. Never perish. I pastored a church in East Texas. A large membership, but they were all mostly senior adults. It was a retirement type community, and there for a little while at that church, I was preaching one or two funerals a month. Elisha's brother-in-law would pick on me. He's a pastor too. He pastors in Lufkin. I know he listens to my sermons on the internet. That's why I introduced him as Elisha's brother-in-law. But he would pick on me and say, "How many funerals you done this month?" And I'd tell him, he says, "Well, I do that many marriages a month." His congregation was very young. And we, you know, he'd pick on me about it. But I know this. When you do one or two funerals a month, and you're standing there at a big hole in the ground knowing that that body's fixing to go in there, and there you are facing the family, it'll help you start thinking about death. When you're trying to console and comfort a family when that loved one's being buried, I started thinking about my own death, my wife's death, my children's death, and just thinking about how frail you and I really are. We're frail. It's by the very grace of God we're breathing right now. But you know what? Jesus says they will never perish. Yes, we'll be put in the ground. I think Jesus has to be coming back soon. Look around. Know the season that we're in. He could come back today. I don't know when, but He has to be. It just seems like He needs to be coming back. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But if not, and we die, we will be buried or cremated, whatever. That's a debt we all got to pay, is death. But yet even our body will be resurrected someday. And in our flesh we will see God. It'll be a new glorified body. But we'll never perish. Never be destroyed. And we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because of His promises. And God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Everlasting life, eternal life, and they will never perish. Never means never. When God says never, it means never. Our eternal God can see all. He is sovereign. He's in eternity. He's eternal God. And He promises you and I, His sheep, that we will never perish. And He also gives this great promise. Let's read verses 28 through 30 again. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, also who became the sacrifice. It says in Hebrews, if you'll read the book, and all those hard passages, if you'll read it in context, it says our high priest offered once his sacrifice, once for all. And he cannot be sacrificed every time we sin. It was a done deal there in the tabernacle of heaven. He offered his blood in the tabernacle, it says, in heaven. The heavenly tabernacle. Once. He is not offered again and again and again. And in Romans chapter 6, it says that our sin was nailed to his cross. Romans 7, what I don't want to do, I do, but what I want to do, I do not do. And then in Romans chapter 8, there is now therefore no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. My sin was nailed to his cross. I'm a sheep. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I will never perish. I have everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus did it for me. Jesus gave it to me. And I'm held. You're held by the most powerful force of the universe. You're held by the hand of an almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God of all. We're held by the hand of God. I'm not trying to hang on. I'm held. You hear me? I'm not trying to hang on. I'm held. I'm going to follow Jesus. Come follow Jesus. If you don't want to follow Him, beg for mercy. Come follow Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You so much for the security and the assurance of Your Word. God, I fall down and crawl around and everything in my following, but I do know I'm held. Help me, Jesus, not to only just worship You here, but worship You this week in the way I live as Your follower. And may it be for the praise of Your glory. Amen.